Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So do these words sound familiar? You may have heard them lately. Will it ever end? When will life get back to normal? What is normal? I just don't know what to do anymore. And I don't know how much more I can take. And those might sound familiar to you, but those are probably phrases that have been familiar to people all over the world, and particularly God's people, as we've endured plagues and famines, wars and persecutions. And these times, these are difficult times, times that are trying our patience and trying our faith. But now is the time that we need to remember history. For the early church, it wasn't just the perilous nature of life. That had always been with them. In fact, with all people. Life was dangerous. Canadian psychologist and author of 12 Rules of Life, An Antidote to Chaos, Jordan Peterson, speaks how the world is basically trying to kill us. And until very recently, humanity knew and pretty much accepted this. I mean, think of the story of Joseph and his brothers. I mean, it is a perfect legitimate alibi to say that your brother got attacked by a wild animal as your excuse for selling him off into slavery. So, and any misstep onto a short, sharp object could lead to lameness or infection and death. But members of God's family had the added danger of being a follower of Christ. Jesus' followers were persecuted and scattered, but they still believed. Our reading in the book of James was written to people whose faith was challenged. Today, our faith is being challenged. So we need to listen to James, who says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Those words, "He is coming," was great news for their weary ears. Jesus would return, and when he did, their troubles would end. There would be no more rejection, no more persecution, no more trials or sorrow, and James was always looking ahead. He lived his life in anticipation of the return of his brother, Jesus. Yeah, the man who wrote this book was actually Jesus' brother. Even now, 2 millennia later, we hold on to that promise. Christ is coming again. That promise is true. Throughout the scriptures, we hear this assurance. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." And as James wrote, he was concerned about the endurance of God's people. Would they hold on to their faith? He encouraged them to keep focused on the coming Lord. And if he were here this morning, instead of me, he would probably say the same thing to you. The Lord is coming, but how can we hang on? How can we be ready? We can be ready the same way that those first hearers of James were told to be ready. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Being patient means holding on and bearing up and dealing with suffering. It's a spiritual patience that does not give up, but grasps on to the promise of Christ. So where do we get this patience? What do I have to do to have this patience? Well, in reality, you don't acquire it. It's a gift, just like your faith. It's a gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Remember what Paul said in his letter to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, along with 5 other wonderful things. These are given to us by God through his word and the sacraments. Knowing that Christ came for us, that he gave his life as the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, or to quote President Harrison in his youth gathering sermon, "Christ has it in the bag," we can live with eyes focused not just on the things of this latest news cycle, but we can confidently face each new day knowing that Christ will return for his church, and that's you and me. He will bring us to his eternal kingdom. Think of Martin Luther and a mighty fortress. Everything that can be taken away from us and devils all around us, but we fear not because the kingdom is ours. In our text, James uses the example of a farmer. The farmer plants his seed and patiently waits for his crop to come. He has faith that it will grow because, well, that's just the way it works. You don't even have to be a Christian to know that. The farmer waits until the fullness of time and the seed germinates and grows, and he waits for the rains to come and water the earth. But he also, while he's at it, battles the pests and the weeds so that the full crop will be his. He does all that because he knows the harvest will come. According to James, us believers, we need to be like the farmer. We need to set our hearts on the coming of the Lord, to look forward to it every day. This will keep our eyes on the goal of the life of a believer. If we acquire riches, it's not solely for ourselves. We're to use it to take care of our families and to bless others. And this is the way it is with all the good gifts that God doles out to us. Our life is not just for ourselves, because when Christ returns, we will have no need of it. As we face the trials of this life, James urges us not to grumble and complain to our fellow believers for what happens to us. This doesn't accomplish anything positive. God's word is quite clear. Do all things without grumbling and questioning. And that includes waiting, for the judge is at the door. And rather than lashing out at each other, James encourages us to look to the prophets for an example. That's what we're doing this morning. We're thinking about history, thinking about what others endured, thinking about what others survived, or didn't, but who still held on to the promise that God gives us for a future hope and future joy. God is with us, so we can faithfully endure. God will be with us as he was with the prophets of old. He will keep us strong in the faith as we remain fixed on his Son, both upon his presence with us now and upon the end of this life and the beginning of the next. The more we do this, the more the compassion and mercy of God will flow in and through us. And what are we to be doing while we patiently endure with our eyes focused on the return of Christ? How do we, like farmers, battle the pests and weeds of this life? We respond. In the text, James says, "Is any amongst you suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." As we continue to watch for the return of Christ, we will have difficulties, we will have challenges, we will have temptations, there will be testing, there may even be persecution. We may feel that we are all alone, as if no one has ever felt the way you do right now or has the difficulties that you and I have right now. But focusing on Christ through the good and the bad, we find his power and strength to face those things that oppose us. When we battle our spiritual foes, we ask God for help. We talked about this a few weeks ago in the series on Ephesians, where Paul wrote, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." We must constantly be reminded that our struggles on this side of heaven are not simply physical. Every difficulty has a spiritual component, because every struggle, great and small, is an invitation for us to take our eyes off of Christ. We must constantly be reminded that we are not alone and that God supplies all of our needs and that he is with us. And he is with us in this very tangible way. God is with us through his body, the church, you guys. We certainly have had a lot of reasons to lean on each other as brothers and sisters, not just in these last couple of years, but also in the last couple of weeks. And when any kind of difficulty comes, whether it be illness or sorrow or worry, we know in this church that we do not suffer alone. So seek the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is one of the ways that God teaches us patience. Illness, sorrow, and worry are oftentimes that God uses. Those are often things that God uses to bring us closer to Him. It's all too easy to feel independent, like we can tough it out, walk it off, believe that we're sufficient to handle what we're going through. There's even that misnomer that God doesn't give you more than you can take. Absolutely not. He gives you tons more than you can take so that you lean on Him. And when we have that attitude that we can take care of it, then our attitude is that we don't need Jesus. But we do. We need help. We need God's help. James even speaks of this when he writes, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So what else do we ought to do in light of his return? Well, James says it. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another." What is a confession? Confession is telling God that he's right. It's telling God that we need him because we sin every day. It's reminding ourselves that if it weren't for Jesus and what he did for us, we would be separated from God forever. So we gather for worship, we stand, we confess our sins to God and to one another. We have offended God, but God, for the sake of his mercy, sent his Son to pay the debt for all of our sins. And after hearing our confession, God, through our pastor, tells us that we are forgiven. And because we are forgiven, we have no reason to fear the coming of Christ, but we can wait with faith and joy and patience. So as we see the day approaching, there's a lot to do. We're going to face trials, tribulations. We're going to be tempted to depart from our faith, but we never do it alone. We have God, we have one another. We have the members of the body of Christ throughout the world. And while we wait, we keep our eyes on Jesus, who has already done great things for us and who has even greater things in store for us. So, keep the faith. Hold on. It won't be long. He's at the door. Amen.